The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Okay, what is that sign? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, this is Exploring the Word. Bert Harper, along with Alex McFarland, who will be joining us in just a few minutes. As most of you know, Alex travels quite a bit, and sometimes he'll try to set the record straight, but they want to use him so much speaking that they'll lap him over. So he's going to come in just in a few minutes. But before we start in the scriptures, I'll do this because this is an important week. It's National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child. And right now they're collecting these boxes all over America. And hopefully you've already packed yours. And if you have packed yours and you want to know where to go to take it, because you may not have dropped it off at church or your business or your own home, you can go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. And you can find a drop-off location probably close to you. There are so many in America, and it started out just one place, and now all over America, even in the world. And this year, we're looking at 12.6 million children receiving a shoebox. Now, think about that, 12.6 children, and inside of each one of those shoeboxes are not only the toys and items that they need for school and for cleanliness and their health, but also the message of Jesus Christ and how he could save their soul. They not only hear it, but most of the time they take it home, the family hears it. And so be a part of that. Again, it's Operation Christmas Child, National Collection Week. You got to do it now. It's one of those times when you better not delay. Again, we're in Isaiah chapter 7. Now, yesterday we covered chapter 6, which was Isaiah's call. And now we find out that he kind of switches. In the first five chapters, before he got to chapter 6 in his call, he dealt with people's personal relationship and Israel's personal relationship with God. But in chapter 7, there's a little bit of a switch, and it's more of a national issue. The king making alliance with others and the countries that are trying to come against Judah. And so it's an intrigue. It's kind of a governmental, militaristic intrigue. So in chapter 7, we're introduced to the individuals that Isaiah will be speaking to. In chapter 7, verse 1, now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. Now, this is really, really interesting because we find out the northern kingdom aligning with Syria coming against the southern kingdom. And what do they want to do? They want to put their own king and have I would call it a triad, because Assyria is growing in power and they're trying to have an alliance that will help them hold down their position. So it says in verse 2, and it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim. Now, Ephraim is another reference to the northern kingdom, Israel. Ephraim was one of the sons of Joseph, and Joseph got a double portion, his sons Manasseh and Ephraim. And Ephraim became very strong, and so the northern kingdom sometimes was referred to as Ephraim as it is here. So his heart and the heart of his people were moved as the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. Let me put it in our vernacular. They're shaking in their boots. They're fearful that these people are coming against them. And then the Lord said to Isaiah, okay, notice Isaiah gets a word from the Lord, go out, meet Ahaz and his son, it is Shir-Hashub. At the end of the aqueduct, that's where the water comes in, from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's house. Say to him, now listen to these words, take heed and be quiet. You know, sometimes that's exactly what to do. We wait upon the Lord. We don't trust in chariots. We don't trust in horses. Our trust is in the Lord. So he says, take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted for these two people who are trying to reign. Now, listen to what God tells Isaiah these two kings are. Now, it's not a compliment, by the way. Two stubs of smoke and firebrands for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Listen, here he says they're just stubs smoking. They're stumps that's smoking. That's all they are. They're going to be gone. They're still there, but not much of them left, and they're being destroyed right now. So he says, don't be fearful of them. Be quiet. Be steady. Do not be faint. Don't you love that word, faint-hearted? You know, it means you're growing weary, you doubtful. Don't do that. Stay wholehearted. That's how we're to serve the Lord. Not double-minded, not faint-hearted, not stiff-necked, but wholehearted. We're to follow the Lord. W-H-O-L-E, we're to wholly follow the Holy One. And it says, they have taken evil counsel against you. That's not unusual. God's people, it's not unusual for individuals to form alliances to go against us. It's happening right now in America when you see those that are socialist, communist, and those that are Muslims, and they're forming an alliance. How horrible it is. It is pretty horrible that they would do that, but they're forming an alliance because what? They want to stand against Western civilization that was founded upon the basis of the Ten Commandments and the Jews and the Christians coming and having this man that we're made in the image of God, and therefore there's freedom in that, and so they're coming against it. The alliances has always been and will continue to be that way. Notice it says in verse 6, and this kind of brings it to the end here, let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves and set a king over them, the son Tabeel. They've already set up the guy. They've already isolated him, identified him, and said, he's the one that we can sit there, and I believe it means that he'd be a puppet in their hands. He'll do what we tell him to do. They don't want somebody in there that's going to be as powerful as them. They want someone that they can control. And again, that's the way the alliances are. If you see two coming together like that against one, you find out that is the truth. And then the Lord said to them in verse 7, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, so that it will not be a people. Now, again, these years is about 734 when Isaiah makes this. 732, there's the failure. 722, you would find out that the northern kingdom would be isolated. And 65 years later, you wouldn't even be able to identify them because they've been taken captive. They've been the Gentiles came in and entered married with those that were left in the northern kingdom. The others had been shipped out, and no longer do you even have an Israel. No longer do you even have an Ephraim. They will be dissipated and gone. And so the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. In other words, if you don't believe this, Ahaz, you won't be established. You need to believe God's word, trust in the Lord, and not in alliances with the world. That's still true for believers today. We've been bought with a price, and we're to glorify God in every way we can. We don't second guess God. We trust God. We know that God's promises are sure. Do you like that? My promises are sure. He'll see you through. He'll guide you. He'll be your strength. You rely upon him and not your own alliances, not your own ways. Now again, verse 10 says, moreover, the Lord spoke to Ahaz saying, now here it is. Here's that double promise. It's an immediate and an ultimate. Now in the Bible, those are the two things you really need to look at. Many times it'll be in the same paragraph. Sometimes it will be in the same chapter that we divide our chapters into. There will be an immediate promise, and then there will be an ultimate promise. Like in Psalm 22, when the psalmist would say, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was true. He felt that way. But we know it was also messianic, because Jesus Christ on the cross would repeat those words because of God the Father letting Jesus pay the price by himself. And so here it says, here it is. Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. And Alex has joined us. And Alex, we're in verse 10 and 11. We've gone through the first part. And now we're right. You waited to get on right at the very best time, brother. I was hoping you wouldn't miss this, because I knew Alex McFarland. We got to go back and cover verses 11 through 16. These are powerful verses that have an immediate promise, but also an ultimate promise, isn't it?
Yes, and yes, thank you for queuing this up. This is so wonderful, Bert, and I appreciate you going through this. And we're in Isaiah 7, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We were here ready, and ask for a sign for yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Either in the depth or in the height above, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. That sounds good, doesn't it? You know, a little bit of humility there. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Now, this is so powerful, of course. We'll sing about it in Christmas songs. We'll commemorate it. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And before we go any farther, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, Luke 1, 31 and 34, this is quoted because this one conceived by the virgin, born of a virgin with no sin nature, it is Emmanuel, which means God with us, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. And the immediate one is Isaiah's son. His first wife's going to die. He's going to remarry and have a son, and that will be some of his name. Now, the difference in this, a virgin conceiving, in Isaiah's case, it was with Isaiah being the father. In Jesus' case, the God-man, that which is conceived in you, Mary, is of the Holy Spirit. And so here it is, you have this double promise, an immediate promise and an ultimate promise. Now, Alex, a lot of times God's promises, he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. That's immediate, but it also, wow, it has a blessed hope that he's going to see us through.
And an ultimate fulfillment,
it
too,
is,
isn't it?
It is. It really is. Well, we're going to come back to chapter 7. It's a day of prayer. So you're going to get ready to make those phone calls. We'll open them up in about 7 or 8 minutes, and you can have your prayer request ready, because we want to have a day of prayer here on Exploring the Word. But we'll be back with more here in Isaiah 7.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly, and nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only options, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hours, loving them, helping them choose life, and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250, baby. Or give online at preborn/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We are celebrating Jesus. We're in a wonderful messianic prophecy of the Old Testament, Isaiah 7:14, of course. And, you know, Isaiah is our study. And Bert, you know, with 66 books of Isaiah, we kind of jokingly were talking the other day about how long it might take us. We'll try. I'm generally the one that drags us down and slows us down. But with Christmas coming, we thought it would be appropriate because there's so much in there that relates to the incarnation, the coming of Christ, the birth of Jesus.
It is, but, Alex. It is. And listen, I like to go through, but I always tell you, there's some places you got to just drill down. And we're in one right now, Isaiah 7, and this messianic promise, his name will be called Emmanuel. Now, Alex, I'm going to give you a test here. What does that mean?
Emmanuel means God with us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. You know, Bert, we've often talked about how the Christmas songs, well, really, many, many of the old hymns had just really good, biblically faithful, just deep theology, didn't they?
They really did, and that's the reason with all my heart, I just want to suggest this. There's some that they only do contemporary, and I've been in churches that do just the older hymns. Listen, I think you're missing out on it. I think you do both. Man, God gave us a new song, so new songs are being written, and the old songs, man, they're lasting. And so just sing treasures about Jesus and about who God is, Alex. And yes, some of them are testimonial about what God's done in my heart. Some of them are just that of praise of who God is. And so just praise the Lord in song. And so I love Christmas music. When the worship wars quote was going on 20 years ago, everybody, yeah, "Oh, Brother Bert, what's your favorite music?" And I just say Christmas. And they all, "You don't want to answer." I said, "No, I love Christmas music. I really do." So here it is. You shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus and Emmanuel, I don't know if you get any two better names of Christ. All of them are great, but Jesus Savior and here Emmanuel, God with us. Alex, what a name.
Amen. Well, and you know, when the angel appeared to Mary and said, "You will bear a child and you will call his name Emmanuel, for he will save his people from their sins." Also, let me just say this. Do you remember it talks about Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man? This really does echo what was prophesied 750 years before Christ was born, Isaiah 7:15 and following. A virgin will conceive and call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Now, there's a lot here. Let me say this. I wonder about the butter and the honey, you know, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. But at the very least, in verse 15 and 16, there is the concept of what we call the age of accountability, that a child grows up, and there comes a time when the moral light comes on. And a child begins to realize the obligation to do good and refuse evil. And even though Christ is the sinless Son of God, that moment, that realization of God, truth, our accountability, that realization came in Christ's life too, didn't it?
It really did. And when you get into verse 16, you get into the more immediate promise, because he's already talked about the two kings in verse 4 that's going to be like two stumps smoking. And here it says, before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, maybe 12 years, whatever it is, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. Now, what are those two kings? That's Rezin, that, you know, of Syria. And it's also Pekah or Ramallah of the northern kingdom. And so this is immediate. And so this is what here's what it is, Alex. I'll run this past you. I've been trying to think, how can we make this so real for people to see, okay, the relevant, the immediate today, and the promise of tomorrow. That's what makes it relevant, and that's the Word of God. It has something to say for us today, although it's looking toward the future. But also, it has something to say for us today because it took place hundreds of years ago. That is the power of the Word of God in a person's life, empowered by the Holy Spirit guiding. And so here it is. It has something to say for them in that day, immediate, but it also has a promise for them as well as those of us who came after them. Does that resonate
well
with you?
Said. Yes, and so much about the Word of God is like that. There is this dual fulfillment. It was applicable to them in that day, like you talked about Isaiah's son, but prophetic for us. Well, Christ came 750 years after this was written, and then he is coming again. So as Warren Wiersbe said, there was the now and the not yet.
That's it. Amen.
Verse 17, the Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come, from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. Now, basically what this is coming about is judgment and destruction.
Amen.
It's kind of like the prophecy of plagues, isn't it? Whenever I think about bugs and the rivers of Egypt, I think about plagues and judgment, don't you?
It is, and that's what, and he doesn't stop there. He continues with this. They will come, and all of them will rest in the desolate valleys, in the clefts of the rock, and on all thorns, and in all pastures. In other words, this land is going to be laid waste. In the same day, the Lord will shave with a hired razor,
yes,
with those from beyond the river, with the king of Assyria, the head of the hair of the legs, and will also remove the beard. Shame. Got that, Alex?
Yeah.
The shame that's going to be upon them, and they're going to emasculate them. They're not going to be anything that's going to be of great significance left. They're going to be judged severely, aren't they?
This is just some of the most amazingly poetic language. Now, I'm sorry it's talking about judgment, but God will shave with a hired razor. You say, what does that mean? Well, the Assyrians that are going to attack, they're working for God. You know, God doesn't just have to send lightning bolts or something. Assyria is going to attack, and while they have their own schemes and agendas, God allows it to happen because of the sin of the people. And I don't know. I've always thought that was just an amazing. I realize it's a negative connotation, but they're going to get shaven with a hired razor. The even the wrath of man works for God's purposes and praises God, doesn't it?
It really does. And listen, while God is working for the good, part of that is demonstrating his holiness and speaking to sin. By the way, it's a day of prayer, and we're going to open up the phone lines. And if you have a prayer request, we want you to get in Tuesdays have just become great days of people. We've got some that we're going to share with you that sent them in, and we're going to pray for them. But also, if you got a prayer request, that number, 888-589-8840. Now, if you have Bible questions, go ahead and call them in, and we'll try to get them in as well. Mm-hmm. And so we want to do it all, but we do concentrate on prayer. Every day can be a day of prayer, but Tuesdays yes. especially. Alex, verse 21, it shall be in that day that a man will keep alive a young cow and two sheep, so it shall be from the abundance of milk they give that he will eat curds, butter, but curds and honey everyone will eat who is left in the land. In other words, there's nothing left. I think what it's talking about, the fly, the bee, the judgment, and left mm-hmm. it wasteland, the only thing that's left seems like it's kind of honey and dairy products, you know, not yep. anything left. And how's that going to do? Well, it's a severe judgment. You're not going to have
slim pickings.
Exactly. Not a sufficient diet.
Yes.
We need a sufficient diet physically, but also I'm going to spiritualize. You always say, Bert, we need a sufficient diet spiritually too, don't we, Alex?
Well, we really do. And, you know, there's not vegetation. And it goes over there that it shall come to be that every place where there were 1,000 vines and 1,000 silverlings, it shall be for briars and thorns, verse 24 and 25. With arrows and with bows shall men come there, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. And on all the hills it shall be digged with the mattock. By the way, we use a mattock to this day. There shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for sending forth of oxen and for the treading of lesser cattle. In other words, they had spent centuries cultivating this land, creating farms and vegetation, and they're having to start over. They're going to have to take the mattock, clear the land. Eventually, some cows and livestock can walk on it. But, Bert, what I read in verse 25 is they're back to square one.
They are.
Sin does that to people, doesn't it?
It does. Let's try to get this cliche. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay.
Yeah.
And I know it's a cliche that is said, but some of these cliches are powerful, Alex. And that
they
one
really
is,
are.
They really are. It's demonstrated here. Ahaz is trusting what? He's trusting in worldly alliances for something only God can do. Now, here's what we're asking you. When you look at your life, are you trusting? Well, there's some amount of trust we have to place in brothers and sisters and do some work with others, but not our salvation trust, but we have to make some financial trust that way. I understand that. But the eternal trust, Alex, the only one is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
No one else can we trust for eternity, can we?
Well, that's true. And let me just say about this, what sin will cost you more, leave you farther. Proverbs 6:26 says that through a prostitute, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. And you know what? I've seen it in the lives of men that we've counseled that, you know, decades. You know, it's been said that the reputation of a lifetime is proven by the conduct of 1 hour. And here's the thing. We've seen it in politics. We've seen it certainly in the celebrity world. But maybe you've even seen it in your own neighborhood, that a life and a legacy and a career and a family is just reduced to nothing by sin. And folks, one of the wisest things you can do, one of the greatest favors you can ever do for yourself, is to forsake sin. Because John Piper, the radio minister, he said, too many of us are in the business of sin management rather than repentance.
Wow.
And this Isaiah 7 reminds me, you know, no vegetation. They might have a cow left or a little bit of milk, but no vegetation, briars, they're back to square one. That's what Satan loves to do to people, is to tear their legs out from under them. by their own decisions and their own disobedience and sin.
Alex, I think we can go to 8:1-4, and we see a little bit of the fulfillment of the immediate. Let me do that real quickly, and then we'll take a break and take phone calls, the last segment. Moreover, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with a man's pen concerning Meir Shalah Hashbaz. That's, that's a name. And I will take for myself faithful witnesses to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jerahiah. Then, here it is, verse 3 and 4, then I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. Here it is, you shall bear a son. This is the immediate. And you shall call his name MSHB. I'm just going to use those initials.
Yes.
For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be taken away before the king of Assyria. Alex, he's telling again, this is the third time he's referred to this alliance that Syria and Israel have had to try to overtake them, and said they are going to be a smoldering dust. I'll take care of them. Don't trust in Assyria. Trust in me. Is that the gist of what he's saying?
Well, you know, what's interesting is Isaiah 8 and 9. Here's a little trivia question. The two longest names in all of the Bible, seriously, are in Isaiah 8 and 9, that Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Now, that name means quickly to the plunder, okay? Now, after, you know, the birth of Emmanuel, another child is mentioned, that this son of Ahaz is going to be born quickly to the plunder, because Samaria, Damascus, the king of Assyria, they're going to come and they're going to plunder, aren't they?
They really are. Well, listen, we're going to take prayer requests. We're glad that Larry and Joshua are waiting. Get your name on that list. And that number, 888-589-8840. It's a day of prayer. If you've got a question, we'll get to it as best we can. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word.
As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real. And yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing.
That song means it's a day of prayer. We usually get it at least one time on Tuesday. But the first song, I appreciate Brent. He doesn't just haphazard pick songs out. He looks and seeks, and he says, man, this has got a message. And the one that played before this, Alex, said, if you're going to finish well, you're going to have to do it by faith. Now, I'm paraphrasing it. And that is, what does it say? Keep the faith.
Amen.
And you continue in trust in the Lord. Well, we've got people that's called in. Alex, where do we go to first?
Well, we're going to begin in Illinois with Larry. Larry, thank you for calling, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call.
Yes. How are you today, Larry?
I am just too blessed to be stressed.
Amen.
There's another one of those cliches that I like, Larry. Way to go. Go ahead, man.
Well, my wife and I are at a crossroads in ministry. We were recently being fruitful in the ministry, and that door closed, and we're just waiting on God. Now, hey, there's a... We trust Him, and like I said, I'm too blessed to be stressed, but, you know, we do want His guidance, so just praying for open doors.
We'll do it, Larry. Alex, Larry, let me ask you guys this. In place, you know, finding God's will for our life, I know we search it, but I found out it's revealed more than it's found. Now, there's not a lot of difference in those words, but they are. God reveals it to us. And it's been revealed unreal, kind of, for me. Now, we're ready for it, and we're looking. But God, I believe God will reveal it to you, and sometimes it may be a little bit different than what you were looking for. Alex, take it away.
Yeah, I want to pray for you, Larry. I know what it is. I mean, you know, it's been said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord sometimes. So let me pray. Father, I pray for Larry and his wife. Lord, they have served you faithfully. They want to serve you more. And so, Lord, they're at a just a moment of rest and maybe a little bit of time off even to get, you know, their second wind. So just like you said to the prophets, here is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, show them your next chapter of life and ministry for them. And I no doubt there are many listening right now, and they want to serve you. So, Lord, speak, your servants heareth. Lord, we are listening. Please reveal to Larry and to everyone out there the ways that they can serve, the ways that they can be used. And, Lord, make it with unmistakable clarity, guide and speak, and use us all. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Larry, before you go, you don't have to. Would you mind giving us your wife's name? Because I write these down and pray, and I love it when I have a first name.
I'll give it to you off the air if you don't mind.
That'll be fine. That's the reason I always ask. And I tell you what, put him on hold and talk to Richard, and he'll give me your wife's first name, if that's all right. But those of you that are listening, write Larry down and his wife down. Where to next, Alex?
In the state of Indiana, Joshua. Joshua, that's a Bible name. Welcome to the program.
Amen. Yes, it is. Funny story about that, but I'm not going to get into that right now. How are you guys doing tonight? It's good to talk to you. Thank you guys for serving the Lord. I appreciate everything you guys do. And if we had more men like you, the world would be a different place, that's for sure.
Thank you, God, Josh. Bless you. Amen. To God be the glory.
He's the one. It's him. It's all about Jesus. Go ahead, Joshua.
Well, I recently started a job as a foreman. I work in construction. And I had a couple people, you know, challenging my authority, giving me some problems. And it wasn't too long ago before this, I was drinking alcohol every day. And I wasn't in a good place in my life, but the Lord has turned that around for me. I've got back into my Bible. I've gotten back into the Word. Praise God. And the Lord's really working a miracle in my life. It's not the first time He's done this, but you know, it's in the Bible. It says, if we draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto us. And so I just need prayer to be able to have patience and to be humble at work and to be able to deal with these things that I know doesn't come from above. It's coming from the evil one, because anytime God does something good for you, you know, the devil wants to destroy it. So I'd ask for prayer for that.
Joshua, Alex, let me say something.
Yes.
When I heard Josh talking about these guys, what you used to be, 1 Peter chapter 4 came to my mind about men, that, and it says this, it says, in regard to these that you used to walk with, drink, carouse, all the things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation. Mm-hmm. And they even speak evil of you. They want to bring you down, and that Satan wants to bring you down, Joshua. But let me share with you what chapter 4, verse 1 says. This is powerful. I preached on this Sunday night at Ozark Baptist Church. It says, Christ suffered for us in the flesh. Arm yourselves also with the same mind. And that word arm, it means put on it, and it's heavy. It's the armor of God. So you arm yourselves for that job, your new job. You're arming yourself with the criticism, from the criticism. So it's arming yourself with the same mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2. So, Alex, God, He set us apart. that yes. we could arm ourselves and be a strong witness of the difference that Christ has made in her life. Sounds like that's where Joshua is, isn't it?
Amen. And, you know, brother, this will be a time of growth. I know it seems stressful, and it is, but navigating this in the power of the Lord with the Holy Spirit, this I truly believe you're going to look back and see this was a time of major growth in your walk. And at least in that regard, it's a blessing, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. And we're going to pray for you. Before we do, yeah. we've got lines open. So if you've got a prayer request, you can call 888-589-8840, just like Joshua did. And that prayer request, we want to hear it. And so let me pray for Joshua. And then I want to tell, we got one that Brent has for us that we want to hear about as well. Father, I thank you for Joshua. I thank you for the new position he has. Leadership is hard. A lot of times when those are not in leadership, everybody looks at it and they criticize and they think they could do so much better. But Father, being that leader, I pray that Joshua would be that servant leader, and that's exactly what he was requesting, that he'd have the patience, that he'd have the knowledge and wisdom and strength, the humility. Father, that's exactly what you want in a leader. And I pray you would help Joshua fulfill that. And like Alex said, this time of difficulty and testing, I pray that you would help Joshua arm himself with the armor of God, that when they think it's strange that he doesn't act the same way he once did, that it's not because he's been elevated in position at a work, but it's because he has set a new path walking with you. And I pray they would see that and they would be ready to turn to him and ask of the faith that's in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Alex, real quickly, yes. Brent said Mark had emailed in and wanted us to pray for he had a sciatic nerve so bad that he's missing work and he can't take the medicine. So we write Mark down. Mark, we're praying for you.
Yes.
And thank God that you would let us know about that, that you, a man missing work, it's bad anytime. But so we're praying for you, brother.
In Jesus' name, that nerve pain would go away. We
Amen.
Ask it. Amen. West Virginia, Clark in West Virginia. Clark, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I enjoy your all show and enjoy your network very much.
Bless you.
Thank you. I've had a situation here about a month ago. I was on the verge of being kicked out of a place I'm renting. On the technicality, I've done nothing wrong. I am jobless, trying to find a job and trying to find another place to live. And I feel a little bit like Josh in Indiana being challenged. And maybe this is something God's trying to let me go through before he pulls me out. I don't know. But I'm a little frightened, a little scared, and I'm trying very hard to look for that comfort and perfect peace the Lord always talks about to try to be able to sleep and function. So if you could double up on your prayers for me, I would appreciate
Amen.
It.
Amen. Alex, go ahead, brother.
Amen. I want to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up Clark to you. Lord, give him peace, and please keep a roof over his head. Lord, losing a place that he's renting to stay. Lord, I just pray, Lord, for all of his needs. Lord, you've met the spiritual needs, salvation, forgiveness. But I know there are a lot of people in similar situations. There's job. There's just enough money to pay the bills. So I pray for my dear brother that as he navigates each day, Lord, you be his provider. And Lord, please, for your children everywhere, amply come through and provide and keep shelter and the needs of life met. And Lord, we know you've met the greatest need, forgiveness, and you'll meet those other needs as well. We lift up Clark to you for peace of mind and every provision. In Jesus' name we ask it, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Tennessee. Anthony in Tennessee. You're in Tennessee, right, Anthony?
That's right.
Oh, welcome. Thank you for holding.
Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you for your time here today. And I enjoy about every workday listening to y'all, but I have a request for today. I am retired from the Army, active duty, 21 years. I served as a chaplain for those 21 years. Just under 3 years ago, I retired, and I'm a bivocational pastor now, and I work in the school system. My wife is a full-time teacher, but I was going through the process of interviewing for a job for a well-known ministry. They have a national and international presence, and they kind of get busy this time of year with a lot of boxes. So, but I was called today, and I was told that I have been rejected for this job. And the difficulty is that my wife and I thought very much that this is something the Lord was leading us to. And I just found out about an hour ago, and I have to tell my wife that this is not going to be the path for us. And I kind of feel like I've let her down, and just for like a little prayer for guidance.
Anthony, listen, that's hard. I know. We're going to pray. All of you who are prayer warriors, write Anthony and his wife down the direction they wanted to go. And it's difficult and hard, especially when you already have a heart and a desire for it. Alex, is Zard, if I pray for Anthony?
Yes, lead us.
Father, I thank you for Anthony. I thank you for the time he spent in as chaplain, military, his service there. I thank you for his work as a pastor, bivocational. What a task that is. And I pray for him that you would help him as he shares with his wife the disappointment. And Father, it's hard. I have a whole sermon on when God says no. Mm-hmm. And when God says no on some of the things, when the heart is there, it is tough and it's hard. But I pray that Anthony would wait upon you. I pray, Father, that you would direct him in the direction that you have for him. I pray it's better than. And I pray that the vision he had, the heart that he had for the ministry that said no, Father, I pray that you would give him that vision and that direction for what else you have for them. We trust you, and we pray for him telling his wife just in a short time that she would be able to receive it, even though it's disappointing, that she'd say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, our hearts just go out to people everywhere. They've got needs and concerns, but God is faithful. We wait on him. D in Kansas. D, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you, Alex and Bert. I listen to you every day and have been for about 5 years. Alex, I recently bought, I bought your books. And just in the last 3 years, I have really been going through the Bible with a group of women, and my life has changed so much. God has moved my heart.
Amen.
The reason I'm calling today is I married my husband is my first husband. I'm his second wife. He lost his first wife to cancer, and he has adult children and grandchildren, and one of his sons is married. In the last week, my daughter-in-law did something that was inappropriate, and I tried to approach her according to Matthew 18:15, and she absolutely refuses. And it isn't like she doesn't know the Bible, but I don't know about her walk with God.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, forgive us, Dee. We're just about out of time. But family issues, we will be in prayer, Bert, won't we?
We will. Father, help Dee. Help her. Mm-hmm. Help her daughter-in-law to see clearly. And, Father, you work. Tito, we didn't get to your call, but we're praying for the sons and that relationship with them. Again, family relationships, Dee and Tito. Alex, family relationships can be difficult, can't they?
Absolutely. And we know there are many other prayer requests. God knows what they are, folks. God knows what they are. Trust in him. We're going to continue on in Isaiah 8 tomorrow. And then I'll be back tonight on the Hamilton Corner at 6 p.m. Eastern. In the meantime, tell somebody about AFR, but tell everybody about Jesus. Bless you all.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.